right. So last week we started into only one being in all of creation was able to be our substitute. So if you'll take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 1 and verse 14. Obviously, the only one being in all of creation is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he is able to be our substitute. Because Jesus became man and therefore could die for men. Look at John 1 and verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for this evening. We're thankful for each one here. Father, we're also thankful for the fact that Jesus, the only one in all of creation that could have come and laid down His life and took it up again, that we could have eternal life, would be the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're thankful that He came and was obedient even unto death, the death of the cross. And so we thank You, Father, tonight as we look at this, continuing on the doctrine of salvation. I pray, Father, that You would use us to Your honor and Your glory now. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Jesus became man. When Jesus became man, then He was able to die in our place. And so thank God that He was willing to do that. I've mentioned many times, and I think of it every time we come to passages like this, that Jesus knew when He left heaven's glory what He was going to endure here on this earth. He knew all of that would take place. And He still came. I mean, that in itself is amazing. And then, of course, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then if you'll look at Ezekiel chapter 18, Ezekiel 18 and verse 4, and we'll also look at verse 20. Ezekiel 18, 4 says, "Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." And then drop down to verse 20. "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." No man condemned in a court of law to death could offer the judge a plant in his place, right? I mean, can you imagine that? Well, here, let's just kill this plant instead. And this will take, you can't do that. The offering of Cain was rejected because Cain offered what was not acceptable to God. And then he was all bent out of shape because of it, right? It's like, no, God told you what was required. God tells us what's required. And yet man wants to say, well, no, I'll do what I want to do. But Cain didn't understand that there's no grain offering or bloodless sacrifice that could bring salvation. It just could not happen. And then no man condemned in a court of law to die could offer the judge any good deed in his place. Therefore, all who seek salvation through their own good works will be rejected. Because you can't do that. I mean, can you imagine that? Here. Let me offer these good works. I understand I murdered this person and I'm supposed to be put to death, but here, let me do some good works in exchange for that. Well, maybe you should have done better than you did already and not taken the life of the person that you took. And yet, it doesn't happen. And then no man condemned in a court of law to death could offer the judge an animal to die in his place. The blood of bulls and goats could not bring salvation. Look at Hebrews 10:4. Hebrews Hebrews 10:4, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins." All of the Old Testament sacrifices were merely to point to the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon Calvary's cross. All they did was roll their sins forward to the time of Christ dying on the cross. Only the death of man can satisfy the sentence of the death of man. Jesus was innocent and thus could die for the guilty. If Jesus had not been innocent, he would not have been able to die for the guilty. Look over at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. Hebrews 4:15, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. No man condemned to death could offer another condemned man as a substitute to die in his place." The other condemned man would only be paying for his own sin. He would be paying his own penalty, right? He couldn't do it for someone else because he already has his own. Jesus could come and die in our place because he didn't have any sin of his own. He took on our sin. But someone else wanting to die in the place of another would only be able to pay for their own crimes. The Savior had to be without sin, or he would have, when he died, he would have only died for his own sin. Since he didn't have any, he could die for you and I. And, by the way, all of mankind. Yet there was no man who was without sin. Look at Romans chapter 3. Starting in verse 10. Romans 3:10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God." And drop down to verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore the sinless Son of God became the sinless Son of Man, that he might die as our substitute, to pay the full penalty of our sin." Don't you like that? The full penalty. When Jesus died and he said, "It is finished," it was finished. All these people that say, "Well, no, it's that plus." No, it's not that plus anything. It's that. It's done. It's finished. It's complete. There's nothing else to be done. Jesus is God and thus could pay the infinite price of salvation. John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In 1 Timothy 3:16, look over there. 1 Timothy 3:16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Even if there had been a man without sin, he could not have been the Savior, for one man could die for one sin of one man. Anybody here commit only one sin in their whole life? If you were to die, it would cover that one. If you were able to do that, it would cover one. I don't know of anybody who can say they've only sinned once in their entire life. And if they did say it, that would make them a liar, which would be another sin, right? The effects of sin are eternal and therefore infinite, and therefore the death penalty of sin is eternal death and an infinite price. The death of one man would be infinite, would be finite, and could never fully pay this infinite price, even for one sin of one man. No angel could be the savior of the world either. Even if sinless and glorious, they are also finite creatures. They could not pay for our sin. Only the sinless and infinite God-man could pay the infinite price of sin by one act, the substitutionary and vicarious death of Christ upon the cross of Calvary. One man, the God-man, sacrificed one time for all. That's why I have a problem with these people that go around touting you can lose your salvation. Does Jesus have to be crucified all over again every time we sin? No. How do you lose something that's eternal? If you could lose salvation, it wouldn't be eternal, right? I mean, it's pretty simple. And you explain these basic principles to people, and they still don't get it. If it's eternal, it's eternal. If we have eternal life, it's going to go on forever and ever and ever. And then Jesus was also willing to be our substitute. As I said, he knew everything that would take place before he left heaven's glory. And he was willing to come and to die in our place. Boggles the mind, doesn't it? To think that he knew. What really gets to me is he knew how we would treat him throughout our entire lives, and still came and died. He knew that his own people would reject him, and he still came and died. He knew every time we would sin, and he still came and died. It's amazing. That's why I say the word awesome should only be used when describing God. Because he is an awesome God. Look at Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26:39 says, "And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy." And then look at Philippians 2:8. I already made reference to this. Philippians 2:8. "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." And then Hebrews 10, verses 4 through 10. "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a blood, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings, an offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Then Jesus is willing to be the Savior of all men. This is why I again have a problem with people who say, well, no, Jesus only came to save some. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. He came to save all of mankind. Every single person has an opportunity to get saved. It's whether or not they accept that opportunity or reject that opportunity. But the choice is theirs. Jesus says, come, and all who come, he will save. It's up to each individual person. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 3 and 4. Oops. 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. I don't know what they do with that verse when he says, who will have all men to be saved. One of the saddest things that I found is when independent Baptists out there have said, unless you're an independent Baptist, you can't be saved. Somebody better open the Bible and show me where that's put, because I've not found it. What I find is that God would have all men to be saved. It doesn't say all independent Baptist men to be saved. It says all men. Gets my goat going. Oh, yeah, I get fired up when they start pulling that garbage. Look at 2 Peter 3:9. Second Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants every human being to repent of their sin, to accept him as Lord and Savior, and be saved and spend eternity with him. That's what he wants. That's his desire. That should be the desire of every child of God, that every human being would come to know Christ as Savior. We have some that believe that there are people out there that don't deserve to be saved. Again, I'll say, none of us deserve to be saved. Thank God, if you're saved, it's only because the Lord Jesus Christ loved us enough that he came, laid down his life. I know we talk a lot about people putting Jesus to death. No, he laid down his life. Message on Sunday, who crucified Jesus? You want to find out? You come on Sunday morning and you'll find out who crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, moving on to prayer requests.